And on today's Windy City Queercast, we are acknowledging that it's the 11th annual National Day of Silence. April 25th is when students take a vow of silence to support and be in solidarity with GLBT youth and honoring how they should be treated fairly and equally in schools. Also, we're out at the ball game, Wrigley Field. We've never taken you to a sporting event, and I'm not really a sporty dyke, but I would love to take you to a sporty event with me and my girl. Kelly, my girlfriend's on the show today. Plus, we're going to talk about Pennsylvania. How did the showdown throwdown go? And we're also going to take you out to the movies with Richard Knight because it's warming up and summertime. Blockbuster movies are almost here.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Queercast show number 203. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Kelly Simpkins.
And we're here at Wrigley Field watching the Cubs take down the Mets. Base hit by Derek Lee. Don't think we've ever brought you a Queercast from Wrigley Field, but here it is, folks, because we're out at the ball game. That's right. We are doing this show today a bit in honor of coming out and making safe space for GLBT youth to come out. National Day of Silence is today. It's a day where GLBT youth come to their schools and the allied students and decide not to speak for a day in honor of recognizing that GLBT students should also feel safe in their schools. And but we're here out at the ball game, and it is maybe a home run that we're getting right here. Oh, no. Not, but close. Close call. Every time. Hey, are you having fun at Wrigley Field?
I'm having a great time.
Yeah? Kelly's a baseball fan of sorts. She used to play some ball. What position did you play, Pet Kelly?
I pitched, and I played first base and outfield.
There you go. And people know you were, they read your bio, you were in a league of their own. You played here in Wrigley Field, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How was that?
It's fantastic. It's one of the highlights of the entire thing for me, shooting in this famous stadium.
And you're really a New Yorker, but here you are, you're rooting for the Cubs over the Mets. The Mets, not your team.
Yeah, I was a Yankees fan.
All right, so if the Yankees and the Cubs end up in the World Series, we'll have quite a podcast.
We'll have quite a lot of things.
On today's show, I'm also going to take you out to the movies. Richard Knight Jr. taking us to his night out at the movies, telling you what movies are coming out for this summer season. So it's going to be a pretty exciting show, and got a lot of news going on. Big stories and things going on with same-sex marriage across the U.S., and also some fun entertainment news that I think you'll be excited, because a lot of people this week, if you listen to the last show, are also coming out. A lot of people coming out, from Christian young gays to celebrities. Lots of new people coming out. So, you know, sit back, enjoy this show. We're going to tell you whether the Cubs win or lose, but right now it's looking pretty good in the bottom of the eighth inning here on a gorgeous day in Chicago. So this is going to be a fun podcast. We've never done this before. We're out here,
no,
Kelly. Don't you think?
Out, no,
you're a little caught
time.
Off guard.
I am. I'm a little surprised.
You don't like talking at the field? You could be like a WGN
announcer. I shouldn't mind it at all. I feel a little self-conscious, but, you know, again, one of my many...
Nobody's paying attention to
us. I know.
Section. We're in the 400s.
Nobody gives
a shit what we're doing.
And even if we were in the teens, no one would give a shit. It's my own crazy head.
All right, folks, more to come. Stay with me.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player.
Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player, yeah.
A little friendly competition never hurt anybody. Unless that anybody happens to be the person you're covering.
Bring the pain.
Hands, no. Blazing speed, no. Unresolved anger after being cut from the football team 17 years ago, big time.
Still have issues.
When it comes to two-hand touch, you leave it all out on the field. Your blood, your sweat, your dignity.
Dignity is overrated.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, backyard bruiser. The way you play the game will always leave us in stitches.
Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
Gay rights organizations are urging Ventura County prosecutors to try the 14-year-old boy that murdered gay classmate Larry King in February as a juvenile. The coalition of gay rights groups are dismayed that Brandon McInerney has been charged as an adult, saying, "We are saddened and outraged by the murder of junior high school student Lawrence King. At the same time, we call on prosecutors not to compound this tragedy with another wrong. We call on them to treat the suspect as a juvenile, not as an adult."
The former Assistant Secretary of Defense under President Ronald Reagan, Lawrence Korb, has come out in support of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Korb voiced his opposition of the policy before a joint hearing of the House Armed Services Air and Land Forces Subcommittee and the House Armed Services Readiness Subcommittee, saying it was an example of outmoded social restrictions and counterproductive. Former Secretary of Defense William Cohen has also voiced the need to repeal the policy.
Same-sex marriage in Iowa would increase the state budget by over $5 million each year. A study released estimates that permitting same-sex marriage in the Midwestern state would have a positive impact on the state budget, roughly $5.3 million every year, due to increases in state income and sales tax, as well as cost savings.
A high court in Ireland rejected a gay sperm donor's request for access to the child of a lesbian couple. The gay man had donated his sperm to a lesbian couple and had signed an agreement that he would not occupy the role as the child's father. The man changed his mind and requested guardianship of the child. The judge ruled that the donor misled the couple and ruled in favor of the lesbian couple.
Former Lost actress Michelle Rodriguez is sick of the ongoing rumors that she is a lesbian. "What the majority of people want to know is what I'm doing with my vagina, and I think that that's sick. What do you care who I'm dating?" Rodriguez said that much of the speculation has to do with the fact that she's a tomboy. "I don't want to answer those questions. I just keep it to myself, and it's nobody's business. If I want to fuck a girl, a boy, a dog, that's my business." Sounds like she's protesting quite a bit.
That's what I hear. TV actor Jason Begge of Kane and JAG left the Church of Scientology 7 months ago out of frustration. He said the tipping point was when members of the church tried to blame Begge's near-fatal car accident on his friendship with a gay man. He had given an estimated $1 million during his 12 years to the church. Begge decided to be vocal about leaving the church because he wants to warn celebrities and others about Scientology's unethical practices.
Actress Tori Spelling will star in a new gay-themed film, Kiss the Bride, playing the fiancé of a man who had a gay fling in high school. His former fling learns that he's to marry and tries to intervene. Spelling has said, "I'm a huge fan of gays. They love me. I love them. They consider me kind of a gay icon, which they've labeled me as."
Even though it will surely end his career in Christian television, the 21-year-old host of The Remix, a syndicated Christian youth show, recently came out of the closet. Azariah Southworth acknowledged, I know this will end my career in Christian television, but I must now live my life openly and honestly with everybody. This is my reason for doing this. And that's the Weekend News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Valerie Smaldone, and I'm backstage at the Royal George Theater watching the multi-talented Mark Nadler and his new show, Russian on the Side, a zany 90-minute song and dance journey. It's a laugh-out-loud night at the theater. Don't miss the performer Rex Reed calls a combination of Danny Kaye and all the Marx Brothers put together, Russian on the Side, the pre-Broadway engagement April 22nd through June 15th only at the Royal George Theater. Tickets available at all Ticketmaster outlets, online at Ticketmaster.com, or by phone at 312-902-1500. Call now!
Mullally from Will and Grace.
I've been all around the world.
Oh my God.
Had my pick of any.
You're a big Liz.
You'd think I'd be happy, but I'm not.
So Cubs win. We're done with the game. First podcast from Wrigley Field, and we won.
It's exciting.
I normally go to Wrigley Field and I jinx them. I really think I have that much power. They lose when I go. You're looking at me baffled because you think I do have that. You think I'm a cooler.
No,
that's what they call
it
in Vegas in our last show. We were calling Di's sister Marianne the cooler because she came over. She was having such an awful day even trying to get to Vegas.
Is that the film you want me to watch?
That is the film I want you to watch. If people have not seen that with William H. Macy, brilliant, and
that's
Maria
what it
Bello.
Means, the person who walks in and just kind of ices the table over.
Yeah, a cooler is somebody who literally cools the heat. You know, when a table's hot. Whether it's blackjack, you know, the table, you can feel it in Vegas. When a table's hot, when people are screaming, you can definitely feel like craps tables, roulette sometimes. People are cheering or they're clapping.
I like the term, the cooler.
And so the cooler is somebody who comes in and just changes the luck, just freezes it.
Yeah, I don't think you have that much power, but it's exciting that you weren't a cooler yesterday.
I wasn't. We had beautiful weather.
Maybe we weren't down so close, so your energy waves, your cooling waves couldn't penetrate.
Couldn't penetrate.
The success of the Cubs.
And also, they won again. So they're on a huge sweep. They beat, was it Philadelphia today or
they're
Arizona?
Hoovering.
They're hoovering.
Sweeping.
They're sweeping. Sweep. But the big win, the big game that continues is this political game. And Hillary Clinton's still in it, folks. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive.
You thought she was out.
I thought she was out with Texas and Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, she was, as we talked about last night, she was projected to win Pennsylvania. But I, every time, you know, that there has come this kind of stopping point with her, I've really thought that might be the end.
Yeah.
And she has come up big in the last three states. And it's incredibly exciting. And
Do you think this is bad for the Democratic Party? Do you think that there's so much bickering, and do they have to change the tone of what they're doing now? Do you think?
Or? I don't know, Amy. I don't know. You know, you get lost in all this political analysis and all these people saying things, and it kind of enters in. But you know, I certainly don't think it's bad for the Democratic Party or bad for our nation to have. As you know, we talked about last night, as all the political pundits talked about last night, to have a woman and to have an African American man, you know, talking about the issues as they're talking every time we hear a debate continue on in all these primaries, you know, for hopefully until June, if that's what it needs to be. I think it's incredibly exciting. And if it's bad for the Democratic Party, I certainly don't see it.
Now, you're a Hoosier.
I'm a Hoosier.
And so you have a lot of Indiana folks. How would you describe Indiana? I mean, we probably have people listening to the show from Indiana, but how would you describe Indiana? I mean, if I was to describe Tennessee, you know, I could probably do that. I could probably say why Clinton won Tennessee and not Obama. Why Obama would win other states like...
What would you say?
Well, I think Tennessee is a primarily white state. I think our big cities are not concentration of African-American and kind of urban cities. Really, the only urban city in Tennessee is Memphis that's truly urban. I mean, Nashville is almost now like a southern L.A.
So I don't feel like we have the concentrated urban populations, the concentrated poor urban populations that, say, Mississippi has, South Carolina. North Carolina will be interesting to see because North Carolina is fairly similar, I think, to Tennessee, but he is they say he's scoring higher there. But I definitely understand kind of the white good old boy. It's kind of an older state, and why Hillary Clinton would win that state. I also understand why Al Gore did not, and which may have cost him, you know, the election years ago. But how would you describe Indiana? I mean, for many people, they're saying because some of the big counties that matter are so close to Chicago, Obama has the edge by basically Chicago kind of claiming we seem to be growing as a city and engulfing parts of Indiana. Do you think there's this southern Indiana white collar, similar to Ohio, similar to Pennsylvania, personality as well?
I would say that there is. I mean, what I know about Indiana, and I clearly don't know my home state, it's kind of embarrassing as well as you know your home state. I moved away from there. I'm not, you know, have never moved away from there when I was 18. So, you know, I've never really been around there. I've never, you know, I think I voted there once. Mm-hmm. But it's a really conservative state, and they do have a lot of
unions. It's a pretty Republican state. There's not a lot of Democrats even as your reps or senators.
It's a very Republican state, yeah. It's a very Republican state, very conservative. I know there are definitely kind of poorer pockets and more African-American pockets, but there's a lot of, like, farmers. There's a lot of kind of rural areas and a lot of very conservative people there.
Yeah, they're neck and neck, and We'll see how that unfolds in the upcoming weeks.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. I mean, the people that I know there are fairly behind Obama.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I can't speak to Indiana as a whole, but I don't, you know, in terms just of the people that I know in Indiana, they're not politicos.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just, you know, kind of
they like him. They think he speaks
my
smoothly.
People there, or if it's just, I mean, I don't want to make any kind of broad strokes about Indiana politically because I certainly don't know that and don't know that many
people.
Well,
you aren't hanging around a lot of farmers and probably union workers.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
I doubt, you know, those may be the Hillary population and the older constituents, and it'll depend on how many women come out in Indiana. I don't know what the population male to female is in that state. So I think those will be the things that will turn it for her. It will depend on how he does in college towns like Bloomington, how he does in...
Well, the college people, I mean, the college kids seem to be behind him.
Right. And then how he'll do in some of the northern Gary area, which is basically East Chicago. And I know Hillary is up there probably as this podcast is coming out almost simultaneously. Hey, something else that's coming that today we want to focus on is this 11th annual National Day of Silence. It's recognized and observed on April 25th, and it's when students in high schools and colleges get together and take a vow of silence to protest bullying, harassment, discrimination in their schools. And, you know, what's really cool is they almost have a spokesperson for it this year because former NSYNCer Lance Bass, who came out a couple of years ago, he has made a PSA, public service announcement, for GLSEN, which is the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And I mean, well, speaking of Indiana, like, do you even remember? I mean, you weren't out in high school.
No.
I wasn't out in high school.
No way.
I was barely out in college. I was doing things, but I wasn't out.
But that's not what the show is focused on.
Yes, not the show is focused on. Too many have been focused on that.
I'll be the cooler for this topic.
You be the cooler for stopping that conversation thread. But I mean, can you even fathom, like, having a gay straight alliance in your school or even having a day, even if we didn't have a gay straight alliance, where in your Indiana high school or junior high, people would stop and take a vow of silence for bullying of gay kids? I didn't even know a kid that, you know, was gay, or, I mean, even in college, it was shocking to me when I knew a couple of people who kind of said they were gay, but they weren't out gay.
It was shocking in college?
Yeah.
Was it?
I went to school in the South.
I only went to college for a year and a half, and I'm trying to, I know I lived at a very artsy dorm for the last year, and there were several people there that I thought were gay. Not that I was out, but no, I mean, you know, it's like going to this high school that I went to a couple weeks ago to talk about doing the Laramie Project because they were doing it. And
oh, right, that was in the suburb out in Naperville, Deerfield. Were you?
It was Deerfield. Yeah, but it was a particular. I forgot what the actual is. The town called Deerfield?
I think so.
Maybe it is. Yeah, maybe it's Welcome to Deerfield.
that's what the sign said as I drove by.
But, you know, they were talking about that and just talking about the organizations that they have at school. And I remember saying out loud, and I'll say it again here, I can't fathom that. I can't fathom having a gay and straight alliance. I can't fathom any national, you know, day that focuses on LGBT and taking a vow around that, which I think is fantastic. But kids, you know, the kids growing up today, I mean, my niece and my nephew, they're just going to be exposed to so many different kinds of people and sexuality and that I never was. And I think it's an incredible thing that there are GSAs in most high schools.
Yeah. I mean, I remember in the early days of Lesbi Gay Radio, and this is making me feel and sound very old, but I remember GSA starting to pop up. And I remember with the theater company here, the About Face Theater, which is the largest now gay and lesbian GLBT queer theater company in the United States. Remember when we started a youth program, and in the early, like the first year they did a play, it was about GSAs or wanting to take their girlfriend or boyfriend to the prom. And we continued to hear those stories early on, I think, as GLSEN was really doing its work. And now we're having full protests where probably they don't even have but two, maybe it's a school that has like two gay kids, but like kids feel motivated, straight kids feel motivated to protect and have that kind of activism today, which I think is so great. And I think GLBT youth are dealing with issues of gender identity, and it's less about their sexuality often today, you know, in more of these urban schools like in Chicago, you know, but in Indiana and Tennessee and definitely a lot of the southern states or western states, it's still
if it's
prevalent.
Less about their sexuality, I think that's a brilliant thing. I can't imagine that it's, I mean, I know that there are gay kids in high school who are not suffering. I mean, there was one gay woman who was in our high school and she was, had a really, really rough time of it.
Yeah.
Really rough time of it. And I remember.
And you knew she was gay because she was out, or?
I knew she was gay. She was actually in my sister's class, and she had told my sister, and then something happened with her. I don't know if they busted her locker or wrote something on her locker, but something happened, and I seem to remember maybe she, I don't know if she graduated or if she left school or if it was just that kind of incident, but, you know, to be in any school and to have the freedom to be sexually who you are and not have anyone give you crap about it, I just...
But would you have known? Like, would you have known who you were in high school that way? Did you know you were, I mean, you were consciously present that you were queer in high school?
With many shades of denial.
Yeah.
The quiet voice, yes, was there since I was very young.
See, I just didn't even think it was an option. Like, I didn't even think about it.
I didn't think it was
an
option, but it didn't stop it from being...
Yeah, but because it wasn't an option, it didn't seem real to me. It's funny because it was the same answer I would have probably given people when I started doing theater in high school. And I remember being interviewed one time by the town newspaper when I was doing some show. And they were like, so, you know, and the guy I was doing it with, who happened to be my boyfriend, who now is gay too, you know, they asked him, you know, are you going to be an actor? And he was like, oh, yes, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to go to L.A. and probably be in TV or something like that. And they looked at me and said, you know, what about you? Are you going to be an actor? And I was like, well, it doesn't really seem like a career one could have. Like, I remember just being so like, well, yeah, I could do that, but it doesn't really seem like an option. You know, and the way I felt about that was really the way I think I felt about even contemplating. It's like, of course I could walk over and kiss a girl and I'd probably enjoy it, but that's not really an option. I just didn't, it didn't, I, you know, I bring up this question because I think if they'd had a GSA, some of those ultra conservatives who say we're trying to recruit them and get toaster ovens might've been right. I probably could have been sold on the idea if I saw it as a real option much earlier. And I may have not had that shade of denial that you're talking about so tightly drawn. And I might've been able to go, huh, okay, I could be that or I could be that. I really think I would have been. So are we really recruiting or not if we start having these GSAs and we give kids the option? Because I sure, you know, it's that age-old question.
No, but you wouldn't have been recruited.
I know, I'm teasing, but I'm just saying it's kind of true. You know, my dad used to say, well, you know, you're when he was really upset early on, which he's not anymore, about me being gay, he said, well, you know, it's because you hang around all those theater people. And that's why you're gay. There weren't any gays when I was growing up. To which my mother took me off in a room and said, you know what, Amy? There were always queers. We always knew they were there.
She did.
Or maybe she said gays. It was how she said it that was so funny. She said, there were always gays. We always knew they were there. I don't know what your daddy's talking about. You know, but it is funny. It's this...
so interesting.
My for mind... people who have problems, I think we seem so prevalent now. That we're everywhere.
That's your mind. That's the fear, is that we're everywhere.
I think
for the people who are still afraid of people being recruited.
Well, that's what I mean.
But, I mean, just hearing you speak about that, it's so you, because you have such a kind of practical kind of spine, and sexuality is not practical.
It was for me. If I mean...
But it's not even a question of practicality.
Well, it kind of had to be. I had to get a little drunk and a little, like, available for a situation to happen for me to even have a sexual experience with a woman.
Well, I'm not saying that didn't have to happen for a lot of people, but the fact that, you know, I knew who I was and kept kind of shoving it and shoving it and shoving it, and that didn't mean that, you know, there were guys that I liked and guys that I kissed and those things happened and those things were titillating and, you know, provocative, but at the core... And I guess the question that wasn't ever able to be answered in my head until, you know, I moved away and went to New York was, would I be courageous enough to walk to that side, side that I always knew I was going to end up on?
I just didn't see anybody on the other side. Like, I didn't, that's what I mean. I don't know that it was practical. It was like, I didn't know.
Well, I didn't see anybody on the other side.
I didn't know anybody gay. There was no gay television. I mean, and I hear people
There was L.A. Law with
Amanda Donahoe.
Amanda Donahoe.
We're dating ourselves.
C.J. Lamb.
C.J. Lamb.
I remember that. I sat on the couch with my mom.
Yeah.
And felt very dirty.
Muriel Hemingway.
I was like, I'm so excited for L.A. Law. She's like, why this sudden interest in L.A. Law? You know...
I want to be an attorney, maybe, Mom. there was also was it Muriel Hemingway that was on Roseanne, right, and kissed Roseanne Barr? I mean, that was the first kiss I really remember. They didn't kiss on L.A. Law, did they?
Yes, they did.
They did, that's right.
They did. It was not at all what I thought it was going to be.
I remember 30-something with the guys in the bed. That was really big and shocking. I think they actually may have edited most of it from where I lived in Tennessee. There were a few stations that I think were... So, I mean, I guess the long and the short of it is that we've come a really long way to be having kids, you know, protesting. And what I think is really amazing, I said this before, is that, you know, maybe the school's not full of gay kids in it, but that these kids today, these teens today and young people today in college are so aware of stories like Lawrence King, have grown up in the shadow of Matthew Shepard. Mm-hmm. They have these horrific... symbols that they've kind of become of violence and hate crime. And so they have something to protest. They have something to say, you know, we don't want to live in a society that's like this. Whether they're gay or straight, they don't really, I don't think, see that as an important factor in this National Day of Silence. So it's really, really, really cool. Well, you know, 100,000 new Democrats registered in Pennsylvania. The primaries will continue into Indiana, into North Carolina. We will continue to talk about them. But, you know, after all this political stuff, we just need a little something light, right? So we're going to go to the movies. We haven't been to a movie in a little while. We keep trying to watch the Netflix. It's difficult.
We watched one the other day. We haven't been to the movies.
No, that's what I'm saying. We watched like the Netflix. We watched The Brave One.
Right.
Jodie Foster.
Yes,
that's pretty queer. That's a really gay thing to do. Jodie Foster all buff. Yeah, we've watched a movie
with
lately.
Her sandals
we watched Jodie Foster and her Birkenstock thongs. Which Kelly says are very uncomfortable.
Thongs?
Well, what do you call them?
Flip-flops.
Flip-flops.
A thong is a panty.
That's true.
You don't wear... We don't know. Don't get everyone all titillated if they haven't seen it. You ain't seeing Jodie Foster. You do see a boobie.
You see,
but you don't see a thong.
No, you see a buttocks.
You see kind of a crescent killer of a buttstock.
Buttstock.
Oh, Lordy.
We're descending.
We always do these too late. Too late.
Oh, but Jodie, she didn't bug you so much as she normally does. So that was good.
She has an affect.
Yeah. But we're really behind with the times, obviously, because the Brave One came out like a year ago, it seems like. But there's new movies, and it's the summer season, and they're only getting bigger and bigger and more blockbuster as the summer goes along. So Richard Knight Jr. is with us, taking us out to the movies, and Richard's going to be joining us.
You took
weekly.
Us out to the ball game, and now he's going to take you out to the movies.
I think that's good, right? It's all about being out and the kids supporting those who are out. I love it. So we're radicals here on the Queercast.
And now we should stop talking and okay. Be silent.
All right, let's go to some commercials, and then Richard will be with
for
us.
The day of silence.
Day of silence. Let's have a little moment. Oh, it'd be so hard for me.
It would be a great day for me. I'm not a big talker, but for you, it would be like getting into the lockdown.
All right.
Smackdown, lockdown, prison sentence for you, Chatty Patty.
That's kind of sexy.
No.
Pretty women, fascinating, sipping coffee, dancing.
Sweeney Todd kills London's unsuspecting upper crust. Mrs. Lovett bakes them in a pie crust. Together, they'll stop at nothing for revenge or for love. See this diabolical duo as never before in this hair-raising, fiendishly delightful new production of Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd, an event the Wall Street Journal says theatergoers will be talking about for years to come.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Judy Kaye and David Hess star in the Tony Award-winning Sweeney Todd, the show Rolling Stone calls the greatest musical of the 20th century.
What happened then? Well, that's the play, and he wouldn't want us to give it away.
Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd. Justice will be served.
Coming April 23rd through May 4th to the Cadillac Palace Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Buying or selling a home? John Sanfilippo can help. John knows Chicago. John knows our community. John knows real estate. Dedicated to his clients and proud to be with At Properties, let John help you buy or sell today. Visit NextHomeHere.com or call him at 773-895-1467. That's 773-895-1467.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 21st, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Helena Handbag Productions proudly presents the Chicago premiere of the camptacular Die, Mommy, Die, a tale of glamour, murder, and the importance of family by Charles Bush, playing now at the Bailiwick Theater, 1229 West Belmont. Remember, 4 out of 5 drag queens prefer Helena Handbag for all their camp needs. So call the Bailiwick at 773-883-1290 for tickets, or go to handbagproductions.org for more.
Laughter is truly the best medicine when Julian moves in with his ex-wife and her new husband to recuperate from an illness in the world premiere of Better Late. This new comedy from the writer of MASH and creator of ABC's Dirty Sexy Money plays at Northlight Theater through May 11th with an all-star cast including John Mahoney and Mike Nussbaum. To purchase tickets for Better Late, visit northlight.org.
See what the Chicago Sun-Times calls some of the most dazzling acting you will ever see anywhere. A Steady Rain at the Royal George Theater. A must-see, smash-hit cop drama. A sizzler, says the Tribune. And one of the top 10 productions of 2007 by the Tribune, Daily Herald, and UR. A Steady Rain. Save $10 on tickets. Enter code STEADY into the promotions box on Ticketmaster.com.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents Around the World in 80 Days. This world premiere adventure follows Phileas Fogg as he races around the globe to save his fortune. Looking Glass Theater is in the historic Water Tower Waterworks on Michigan Avenue. For tickets to Around the World in 80 Days, visit lookingglasstheater.org or call 312-337-0665.
Newt Rockne, All-American, is a vibrant and inspiring world premiere musical celebrating the life of the man who created American college football. Playing now through May 11th. Tickets are going fast. Call now, 219-836-3255, or visit theateratthecenter.com for this world premiere musical. Newt Rockne, All-American, only at the Theater at the Center. Professional theater close to home.
American Theater Company presents Speech and Debate, the story of three high school misfits who team up to expose their teachers' online secrets by forming their school's first Speech and Debate Club. This timely comedy is Ugly Betty meets Election, exploring queer life in high school and hypocrisy in public life. Playing now through May 18th. For tickets, visit atcweb.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Broadway's Tony-winning smash hit musical Avenue Q is for you.
If you've ever put out the garbage.
If you've ever put out.
If you're in the closet.
If your friend's in the closet.
If your coat's in the closet.
If you're in college.
If you wish you were back in college.
If you're a Democrat.
A Republican.
A Scientologist.
A gynecologist.
If you're a potty mouth.
If you're a potty animal.
If you want a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical with something for everyone.
Avenue Q is for you.
May 27th through June 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Hit the beat and take it to the verse now.
Folks, it's time for us to look at what's going on at the movies, and who better to do that with than our Night at the Movies movie queen and guru of all things filmic, Richard Knight Jr. Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm so excited. I'm a real movie queen today because I got the new Bette Davis box set.
Blanche. How is it?
Oh, wow. Well, this is the third collection of Bette. You know, we're going to go on until we get to 17 or something. And Joan just came out with number two, so we've got Joan and Bette going.
Let them duke it out in the box sets. Like, do gays buy more box sets of Bette or of Joan?
Exactly. I don't know. I think we just have to have it all when it comes to those two.
You know, it is still kind of the spring. I have to say that are we hitting yet into the real rush of the movies that we'll see maybe later in May and coming out in June? Or is this more of a time when now all the Oscar films and other films of the winter and the holidays are coming out on DVD?
Well, you see a rush of all those, you know, not just the ones that got the nominations, but those that hoped to and did not. There's a flood of those happening. And then this is kind of a dump period, although like mid-April, you start to see some very interesting things as we gear up for summer. Because for some reason, it's like another period where you do see a lot of very, you know, more of these dramas, family dramas. Drama's no longer, you know, really a sure thing. So a little chance here kind of stuff. We're going to see My Blueberry Nights, the Nora Jones debut movie from Wong Kar, the Japanese writer-director. Which, you know, is getting a lot of play because of her and the soundtrack, and that looks very interesting, little indie picture.
Now, she's in the movie and also did the soundtrack?
I don't think she did all the soundtrack, but she does a lot of the songs in the movie. Yes, and it's her debut, and she stars in it. So
wow.
That should be an interesting. That's mid-April.
Okay.
And then there's a very sweet documentary coming out right around the same time called Young at Heart, which is about a choir of, would you call them octogenarian, septuagenarian, when you're in the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, octogenarian, septuagenarian.
There are a choir in Massachusetts that's been around for 20 years, and they do songs by The Clash, by Coldplay, by Sonic Youth.
I love it. Grandma getting her groove on.
The movie opens with the 92-year-old woman singing, Should I Stay or Should I Go? It's very fun and life-affirming.
It's like the woman from The Wedding Singer. Isn't that the movie where the woman does the rap in the middle of the movie? Drew Barrymore movie. That's what it's going to remind me of.
But this is a bit more respectful. They're not sort of, comedic figures, and it's a true story. So that's a very sweet documentary that's coming out. The 25th of April, we're going to see the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler comedy, Baby Mama.
Have you heard any buzz on that?
I've actually heard pretty good buzz about it. I don't think you can really go wrong with those two at the helm right now. You know, this is going to be the first SNL movie with the ladies of Weekend Tonight, although it's not their Weekend Tonight shtick.
Well, they did Mean Girls, though, right?
But I don't think Amy Poehler was in it, was she?
I don't know. I feel like Tina Fey put all of her buds in that film, which was a huge hit and hilarious and well-written and acted and all of that. So one would think this is going to be really good, except Tina Fey's actually going to be in front of the camera on this one, right?
Yes. She's the baby mama, or she's the mama who wants to have the baby, and Amy Poehler's kind of the white trash who carries the baby. And it's very kind of a female odd couple. That's what it looks like to me. Very stereotypical, but, crowd-pleasing, and it's nice to see the ladies do it.
Yeah.
So that's the end of April. That one comes in, and that same week we get Helen Hunt's debut as director, and she's also starring with Bette Midler in this movie called Then She Found Me, which is based on a chick lit book.
That's so hard for a homosexual to say.
Thank you. Please say it for me.
The chick lit flick. See, my tongue's got lots of practice, Richard, so I say that very easily.
I was going to say, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, let the easy ones pass, my mama always said. Let the easy ones pass.
Well, of course, I'm very excited it's Bette. Oh, my God, as if we don't have enough Bette this year with all the big Vegas thing. But
yeah.
She plays the long-lost Helen Hunt, the mother decides to go look for the daughter that she gave up, and it's Helen Hunt, so... sort of a dramedy. And then that same week, Robert Downey Jr.
Wait a minute. Before you go to Robert Downey Jr. being Iron Man, how in the world could one believe that Helen Hunt and came from Bette Midler? Could they be any more... Like, we're talking about the quarterback princess, Helen Hunt, all-American girl,
right,
and Bette Midler, who couldn't be any more... not the all-American girl.
Exactly.
How strange is that casting?
I'm not quite sure how it's going to work.
That is going to be... Because, first of all, Helen Hunt's going to tower over Bette Midler.
Yes, as everyone pretty much does.
Yeah, because she's T9C. That's just hilarious. Wait, what's the name of that film again?
It's called Then She Found Me.
Then She Found Me. Where the fuck has she been, Helen Hunt? We haven't seen Helen Hunt in... forever. Has she been trying to figure out if she's homosexual or not? Is that where she's been?
She's been trying to figure out if she's homosexual. She's probably experimented.
Yeah. Anybody that played the quarterback princess has to be a little gay.
I was going to say a little bit.
A little gay. For those young listeners of you who don't know the after school special quarterback princess, you've just missed out on life. That's all I can say. I was so in love with her.
I go back even before that when she was in The Spell with Lee Grant about the teenage witch and she was the little sister.
Oh, I don't know if I remember that.
That's a TV. Ooh, it's a good one. I've got it on TV. I'll burn a copy for you.
Please.
She's been working on this movie.
Wow.
Forever.
Yeah, she had a hit show, won tons of Emmys, won an Oscar, and then went into a cave and decided whether or not she was gay or straight. I don't know. I don't know where she's been.
And then worked on this Then She Found Me movie. Because it's her her directorial debut as well.
Well, that's exciting. We need more women directors. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I totally sidebarred.
No, that's okay.
The movie that all the gay men listening want to know about, which is Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man.
Well, I'm actually less excited about that than the Bette Midler Helen Hunt sandwich. So.
All right. Well, that kind of freaks me out and creeps me out, the Bette Midler sandwich. But just still, the thought of Helen Hunt issuing out of Bette Midler's vagina is just not something I even believe is remotely possible. So maybe they find out in the end that she got the wrong daughter, but she kind of adopts her anyhow. Like, it's not really her daughter.
That could be.
I would write that storyline.
It could happen.
It could happen. We never know. We'll be in the movie with some popcorn, and we'll see if it does.
Well, I want to see how this Iron Man is going to work, because it's really, you know, to have, it's sort of different to think of Robert Downey Jr. You know, in kind of one of these blockbuster action superhero comic roles.
I agree. You know what's not weird is that he seems like somebody who always has a secret, and he is kind of that charming, lovable, but distant type of character actor. You know what I'm saying? That feels like a superhero. It's just maybe all the throwing cars and flying through the air aspect of it that seems weird.
Well, and also, I tend to think of these, you know, most of these people are very, these young hunk types that they discover, you know, like Brandon Routh, the new Superman, or, you know, all the X-Men. I mean, Hugh Jackman before, you know, the X-Men series was kind of not very well known. And, you know, Robert Downey's been around for 25 years.
Yeah.
So here he is in this high-profile action movie, okay, with Gwyneth Paltrow and Terrence Howard.
It's so strange, right?
It's a real, yeah. So, but the, you know, it looks good. You know, they haven't shown it to us yet, but.
Yeah. But I've seen the little trailer. I saw that little trainer and Ed Norton in the new Hulk movie. And both of them, I think it's interesting to take such a strong character actor and put them in those roles.
Right. So yes, I'm also very curious. That's later this summer, but maybe that'll, I don't know, breathe some new life into these superhero movies, because they're, you know, to me they're on life support. But anyway, the summer season kind of kicks off with Iron Man, and then the following week we get Speed Racer.
Oh, right. Emil Hirsch?
Yeah, the Into the Wild. And then he's also going to be in Milk, the Gus Van Sant movie about Harvey Milk. He plays Cleve Jones, the guy who created the AIDS quilt. So he has a good role in that, too. And Christina Ricci's in it, too. So that's first weekend in May, and then that same week is the new Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian.
Wow.
So that's kind of the start of the blockbuster thing.
And those movies all are coming out from the middle of April until the end of May, and then that really does just sail us right into Gay Pride and summer and all the films that will come out around that.
Well, Indiana Jones then follows the week after that, and then the week after that is Sex and the City. So May is very blockbustery, gay.
So wait, Indiana Jones and Sex and the City are coming out in May?
Yeah.
Wow. Have you heard any buzz on any of these films? I mean, that they're happy with them, or wow, they're still editing because they can't get it right? You guys seem to hear that info.
I think that what I've heard about Indiana Jones is actually that Shia LaBeouf is going to really carry a lot of it, and they've got Cate Blanchett in it. So that sounds pretty exciting. I'm hearing good buzz about that. Sex and the City, I'm hearing very mixed things.
Oh, really? Why are you hearing mixed things?
Well, you know, you go to the gossip blog sites and you see, like, the shots taken on the sets and people commenting on the costumes and people commenting on, you know, there's a scene of her running away from Big. It looks like she's at the altar and something doesn't happen. I don't know. Some people, this is terrible to say this, but, you know, my brother-in-law's mother is Frances Sternhagen, who played Bunny.
Yeah.
Who's not in the movie. And we had a delightful interview recently and talked about it, blah, blah, blah. And she said, you know, I'm kind of surprised that they're doing a movie. It would seem after all those DVDs that they would kind of be done with those characters. So I think maybe there's a little bit of a feeling with that in some of the buzz that I'm hearing that, okay, it's what, is it 5 years later, 6 years later?
Yeah.
Been there, done that. It's kind of like, you know, if they made a Queer as Folk movie now, it feels
right.
Like it's a little too late. So I'm
But they're making
to
an
see.
X-Files movie, another one. You know? So
yeah,
who knows?
Like,
people
why?
And diehard fans don't want these characters to die. They refuse.
Okay.
I mean, I think there are many people that if you said, we're going to make a Sopranos movie and tell you what happened after the blackout, they'd be like, yeah, I want to know.
Yeah, but
because
just,
I argue
that,
with my friends over that.
Sure, that just happened. You know, in the last, what, 3 months, 4 months, not that long ago, six months?
It's been longer than that, hasn't it? It's been since last year.
It was like, I want to say last fall that wrapped up.
Probably, yeah. But I still think a year from now, people would go see a Sopranos film.
Oh,
I really
absolutely.
Do.
And I think people will go see Sex and the City. I'm excited about it. I wish they would make Cynthia Nixon's character a lesbian. I would like that.
That would be really cool, right? You there know? Never was enough of a lesbian quotient on the Sex and the City.
I don't think so either.
I mean, we had the
gay.
Wonderful thing with Samantha going down the lesbian bunny trail for a while. But
That's true.
And we had Alanis Morissette come on as a lesbian for a while. She's kind of doomed to always play lesbians now.
Poor thing. I'm really trying to feel badly for her, but I don't know.
No, who can ever feel bad for anybody on Sex and the City? How much fun was that show?
Yeah, so that's you know, it has a lot of that fondness. You know, it's a nice nostalgic thing. Everybody feels great about it. So I'm excited about it. You know, I'm a gay man, and it's a gay. You know, they're four gay men, sort of, right?
You gay men, you try to claim everything, but yes,
I agree. I'm sorry. It's written by gay men. It's produced by gay men. It's, you know, addressed by a gay. Well, no, Trisha Field's not a gay man. But
no, but essentially she's a big drag queen with flaming orange hair. So, yes.
Yeah, she really is.
So she might be Bette Midler's child. Actually, maybe they should have cast her as Bette Midler's child. That might work better than Helen Hunt, I think.
You know what? Actually, one of Helen Hunt's movies is coming out in a special DVD. Twister.
Oh.
Yes, Twister is coming out in a special edition DVD the same week as a special edition of Serial Mom.
Oh, now that one I want.
I can't wait for that.
How fun is that? Hey, tell me, you know, in the past couple of months, post-Oscars and before these movies that are about to come out that you were just telling us about, has there been a movie in the past couple of months that you're like, wow, not enough people are going to the movies to see this film? Like, this right now is, to me, the film to watch, and it'll be the film to remind Oscar goers about, you know, because they'll forget since it's happening in the spring or late winter for the awards next year. Is there some film that you're really hot about right now?
I'm very hot about Be Kind Rewind.
Oh, really? I remember you talking about this last time you were on.
Yeah, I'm still hot about that film. I really liked Stop Loss, the Kimberly Pierce film, which was the follow-up to Boys Don't Cry, finally, almost 10 years later. Really, really, really good film. Good anti-war film.
Wow.
Pro-war. You know, it shows you a lot of aspects of it. She's a really, really good writer-director. I want to see her do an action picture. She'd do a great one.
Wow. That would be much different than Boys Don't Cry, huh?
Oh, totally. But you could just see, and when I talked to her, we talked about this, that she's an action director. She has such a great feel. So I thought that was very good. I don't know that I've seen anything that really kind of blown me out of the water and said, Oscar. There have been things that I've enjoyed, but... And Be Kind Rewind is not a film that is going to be nominated for anything because it was very, very divided opinion. People either go with it or they don't. You know, a lot of people thought it was, just sentimental twaddle. I fell hook, line, and sinker for it.
I like twaddle. I probably would like this film. I think I'll definitely put it on the top of my list to see at the movies.
Put that in your Netflix. And the other one that I really found very, very charming was Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day.
Oh, now that was one that got very mixed reviews. I have not seen it.
Yeah, a very kind of Noel Coward-ish Cole Porter retro piece. It starts loud and then becomes more and more charming as it goes along.
All right. Well, those are two good suggestions, and also look ahead to all of these other movies. You can always just go home and watch Bette Davis on your new DVD.
Oh, please.
That's what you're going to be doing till we talk next time, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, we've got the special edition of All About Eve finally out.
Look at that. Just in time.
Well, and you know what my favorite line is from that?
No, tell me.
When, when Addison DeWitt comes up the stairs to the cocktail party and she says, Addison, what are you doing here? I distinctly remember you crossing off my guest list. And he looks at her and says, Margot, you are an unforgettable Peter Pan. You must play it again soon.
I love it. It's a great, great movie. And get the special edition of that as well. Hey, yeah. Richard, where can people find? We're obviously going to link this on our website, but for those listening on their iPods or on their MP3 players, where can people read your reviews and find out more about what you're in the movies watching?
I'm every week at WindyCityTimes.com, and then I have usually do expanded versions and some extra content on my own site, NightAtTheMovies.com with a K. And then keep a lookout for Movie Queens, my little movie project that I'm working on with David Kadesky.
We definitely will, and you'll find out about Movie Queens here. We will always keep you posted. Richard Knight Jr., thanks so much for being on with me. I can't wait to go to the movies this spring.
Amy, you are an unforgettable Peter Pan. You must play it again soon.
Clap, 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 clap. Bye, Richard.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.